Okay, good afternoon. I'll call to order the meeting of the State Government Budget Division for Wednesday, February 20th, 2008. We don't yet have a quorum, but we're not actually going to be taking any votes today. We're going to be hearing the Department of Administration's bonding request as well as Senator Rest's bill on capital restoration, which I believe is also part of the department's package as well, too. Just so people are aware, we do have a floor session at 2:15, so we're going to have to cut it short about 2:10. We're going to have to, you know, end the committee hearing so we can get up there. So we're a bit of a time crunch today. So, Senator Rest, you've got Senate File 666.
Somebody had to have
Senate
File
666.
Mr. Chairman and members, we've been working on capital restoration.
Is the microphone on?
Yeah,
we're not very loud.
On the way.
We've been.
I didn't know who was bringing copies.
Dealing with the issue surrounding the need for restoration and renovation.
Senator Rest, could you pull the microphone in a little bit, please?
We've been dealing with the issues of restoration, renovation, possible expansion of the capital working space for past several years. Last year, we had a proposal that we forwarded to the Finance Committee and eventually then to the Bonding Committee. And we are now coming back with a renewed request, but a more modest one. During the interim, there was a working group authorized by legislation last year of the House and the Senate and other interested stakeholders, including the Department of Administration, the disability community, the governor's office, et cetera, to see if we could come up with a plan that would be one that could be endorsed by all the stakeholders. We considered several plans. We did not reach actual accord on one, but I think the one that was the most feasible as we were continuing those discussions was a phased-in plan whereby each phase could be done and then it did not presuppose that the second or third or fourth phase would necessarily be committed to simply because the first phase was done. The Senate File 666 that you have, you also have this brochure in there that was presented to that working group and reflects the request that I would ask the committee to consider today. And I do have an amendment, Senator Betzel, that
it's being passed out right now, I guess. Yeah.
That puts in the amount of that first phase, which is $63.9 million, and I'll explain what that would cover. And then also allows the appropriation to be used for the critical maintenance projects at the Capitol. And we know that there, for example, there's repainting of the third floor that is being finished now. That has already been appropriated for. But we know that there's also critical needs in trying to deal with the water issues on the at the dome. In front of you on the table here is a really interesting artifact from the judicial dining room that I know that some of you have, if not all of you, have toured. You probably have never wondered, but there are no outside gutters on public buildings, but they do need for ways to have water runoff. And that water runoff goes in the walls with water leaders, so-called. Here is one in front of you from our building. You can see that no one should ever have a question about, is there water damage in this building and is it ongoing? This is what is carrying water through the walls in our building, and you can see that it is corroded, rusted, and has gaping holes in it. And this was recovered from the wall in the judicial dining room. In the presentation that was made to us in the working group, the first phase, if you look at the brochure, that the $63.9 million would cover would be to put in the vaults for the mechanical systems on the north side of the building. That is the side that is closest to University Avenue. And that would begin work and do the south stairs renovation, which would include the issues of security at the in what I call the front of the building, but the south side. The phases in terms of the goals to be met in each one of them were divided into access, security, and life safety, building systems, and then C, conservation. So during the period 2009 to 2011, and I'll explain in a second why that is a critical period, in terms of access, security, and life safety, the highest priority vulnerabilities there would be the relocated accessible visitor entry and restrooms on the south side, full vehicular standoff. That's a Homeland Security recommendation that there be no cars parked in currently what is the handicapped and governor's parking space in the north side of the building, and the parking spaces that are close to the Capitol on the south side, Majority Leader, Speaker of the House, etc. That there be improved security of outside air intakes, and that there be a secure dock and drop-off, probably at the west side of the building. Secondly, in the building systems, to stabilize and prepare those systems, the north vaults would be an upgrade. There would be all the HVAC systems would be, and the mechanicals would be taken care of. There would be a rainwater system, cistern, and the electrical system would be updated to reflect more modern technology needs. In terms of conservation and in controlling deterioration, we need a new roof for the building. We would be fixing the dome and the third floor. Again, with the water issues, there would be the restoration of the landscape restoration on the north side to complete that. And then we would be making, at that point, a decision about swing space if indeed we were to go forward with phase 2, 3, and 4. I mentioned why that timeline was critical. We also have a going forward, and I know this is particularly critical interest to Senator Pappas, the central corridor for light rail will be probably commenced in 2010. It is critical that any work that is going to be done to restore, renovate, and modernize the Capitol building, that the two projects not interfere with one another in terms of cost considerations. So we don't want to build the light rail, including the need for a depressment along University Avenue because of the grade, and then afterwards come back and say, oh, okay, well, now we have to go and spend the money to push that aside for a while or to work around a system that's already in place and put the HVAC vaults out there. Far better to do that and get that done before the light rail construction passes by the north side of the building. We don't want those two projects either to collide with one another or for the light rail project to make working to put the mechanical systems outside of the building of the Capitol to make it prohibitively expensive or or just cut off the alternative of doing that in an efficient and effective, cost-effective way. So, Mr. Chairman, that is briefly the bill, the need for moving forward, and I would offer, in terms of consideration for the committee, when we are voting on our preferences, the the A2 amendment.
Okay. We'll take the A2 amendment as an author's amendment, put the bill in the shape that you desire. Senator Rest offers the A2 amendment. Is there discussion on the A2 amendment? Hearing no discussion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, motion prevails. The A2 amendment is adopted. And we'll certainly take any questions or testimony. We've been laying bills over, but in order for me to get a committee report to actually have an engrossment of what we've just done, I'll probably then have to move the bill to the Finance Committee after we're done here so that we can actually see what the bill looks like with the A2 amendment. Senator Rest, did you have anything further on this bill?
No, I think that we have discussed this thoroughly in the past, and I consider my report to you now and this amendment more of a of an update that reflects the work that was done during the interim, even though we did not get accord with the House. I may, however, want to add that the House is moving. They did have a presentation by Representative Loeffler, who also recommended the 63.9, as I understand it, to their Capital Budget Committee and their Finance Committee, however their process works. I'm not familiar with that.
Okay.
And I don't know how far along that's gotten, but they are considering a request at that of that size as well, which I consider to be a really positive step on the part of the House, and perhaps this year in the bonding bill we can start to move forward on this critical project.
And so the plans that we heard last year are still in abeyance. I mean, the idea of building a visitor center in front under the steps and like that, we don't know what's going to happen there.
What we had asked the consultants and architects to do was to, instead of an overall plan for the Capitol that was a single vision, was to break up, if you will, because it was such sticker shock with that cost on it, to break up the cost into phases where we could start working on the Capitol, but that no single phase committed us to a second phase in terms of timing. One would hope that we would move forward with the second phases, but if in 2011 or 2010, when we considered the second phase, if it was not a priority, it would not undo the work that had been done in the first phase, and particularly the vaults in the north of the building. It does open up the space, however, under the steps in the south. They would be removed. There would be excavation, and they would then be replaced.
And we heard
it wouldn't look any different.
And we heard last year, though, that some of the HVAC and the wiring that's in the tunnel and so forth, if you're going to do any modernization or changing, you need to do that before you do that. Otherwise,
that issue has arisen about that the completion or redoing of the tunnel access between the state office building and the Capitol building be considered part of that for exactly the reasons you just mentioned. And, of course, that particular project, and I know people want to talk about the whole tunnel system, but the access between the state office building and the Capitol is one I think of particular concern because of the grade difference, and it is a particular hindrance to people with disabilities to to go up and down that grade, even if they're using scooters or wheelchairs. So I think that's a valid point.
Okay. Any questions on this project? And I'm told we don't actually have to send it to finance. We can prepare an engrossed report based upon the amendment that we adopted. So if people need to, if the Finance Committee or the Capital Investment Committee need a copy of it, we'll have something ready for them to look at. That. Is there anybody else who wants to be heard on this issue? Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Rest, then is the commissioner going to talk about the governor's rec for only $15 million instead of the full $63,
$54? The $15 million, she certainly can talk about that, but the when she talks about the governor's recommendations, the $15 million, as I understand it, is just for the critical needs and includes the just fixing the dome. And I think that in the, I don't know if in the packet that she will be presenting, but there is a description of that that she can talk about, but I think we need to be bolder than the governor in this regard, and that we should be moving forward on the full phasing for the full amount for the first phase. And certainly last year this committee was extremely bold in terms of the recommendation that it made, and I think we should be that way again.
Anything further? Okay, well, thank you, Senator Rest.
Thank you.
We'll lay the bill over, and then...
Mr. Chairman, when were you planning on having us indicate our preferences to you?
After we are done with this meeting, and again, we have to finish today by about 2:10 because we have a floor session. But we do have the forms. Ms. Lonergan has them right now. I don't know that we need to pass them out yet, but we'll make sure that every member gets the form. We'll have all the projects that we've heard about. If the agency has ranked them, you'll know what they are. You'll see what the cost is. If there was a bill, you'll know who authored it, and each member will have an opportunity to just express your own preferences. We'll total them up, and that is what we'll submit to the Capital Investment Committee for their consideration.
Thank you
very much. Commissioner Badgero, welcome back before the Budget Division.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I'm Dana Badgero, Commissioner of Administration, and in the interest of hearing better, I think we turned our computer off, so it'll be just a moment before we get our slides back up and running. I have with me Nikki Giancola, Assistant Commissioner for Facilities from the Department. Let me just simply say that we have simply five requests as part of the Governor's budget from the Department of Administration. Two of them are virtual repeats from last year. I say virtual. We are bringing back the restoration of the MnDOT building facade, however, at a significantly higher price tag, which Ms. Giancola will explain. It is from trunk highway funds, and so it may or may not fall within the purview of this committee, but we just have to have it this year. It must be done. We are under a code citation for that building, and so we're including it and presenting it every opportunity we get. It was included in both the capital bonding bill and the transportation bill last year. This is the sixth year we've brought this request to the legislature. And secondly, we are repeating our request for property acquisition money, which was also approved last year, and Ms. Giancola will describe that. So with that, maybe I should address, as we're still waiting for technology, the issue with respect to the capital renovation. To review the bidding, at the end of session last year, because of the inability of the House and Senate to agree, the final bill commissioned the LCC to convene a working group, and Mr. Hubinger is here, and worked extremely hard to pull together a group of legislators, House and Senate, as well as other occupants of the building, judiciary, attorney general, governor's office, members of the disability community. And we worked over the interim, had a series of four meetings in an attempt to come up with an agreement as to an approach. And the very last approach that we put on the plate for the committee's consideration was the one that you have before you in the brochure. The committee had asked, is it possible to phase this out a little bit longer? stretch it out so that the initial price tag is not so steep, making it more affordable to get started, and that was the plan that we put before the LCC committee. It was rejected. It wasn't ever officially voted upon, but it was simply not adopted. And therefore, the governor, in his request, has put together not a renovation plan. It is not the restoration of the state capitol. It is for very critical emergency needs, and it is $13.4 million supplemented with $2 million for planning. So with that, are we ready here? Okay.
Well, we do have copies of your presentation here if we can't get the machine working, but by all means, do what you need to do. So,
all right.
Welcome to the budget division. Please identify yourself for the record.
Mr. Chair, Nikki Giancola, Department of Administration. Second slide that I think you all have indicates our mission and goals, and I would just comment here that admin itself offers a variety of services to state agencies. Specifically with respect to facilities, though, we have a role here, both leadership and stewardship, in ensuring the wise use, allocation, and maintenance of our existing facilities, as well as to support sustainable investments in new construction and new facilities. You can see our mission and goals here. And if you turn to the next sheet, capital planning and budgeting, our approach for the 2008 capital cycle was to concentrate heavily on asset preservation of existing facilities, heavy emphasis on life safety issues. But we were also mindful of opportunities that would present themselves that might align with our state's strategic plan for locating state agencies as well as program needs of other state agencies. We went through a process of evaluating prior capital proposals. We had extensive discussions between the management division and the real estate construction services division, which is a combination of our design and construction and leasing entities. We took a look at the current state facility condition audit, and we held many discussions with other state agencies in regard to their capital needs. We also made use of the vulnerability assessments that were performed by the National Guard and the Department of Homeland Security and Emergency Management. We took a look at those recommendations and tried to factor some of those into our project planning and prioritization of projects. We did a categorization of our projects this year based on driver. We essentially used four, the first one being mandatory. That would be the needs that we place in the bucket of emergency, security, and life safety. We took then a look at our asset preservation needs based on the facility condition assessment as well as the capital complex deferred maintenance list. The next chunk was efficiency, reliability, and any projects that might offer an opportunity for revenue. And then finally, any new construction needs. What you see here in front of you is simply our primary capital planning factors for the 2008 cycle. The next slide that you should have, I think it's slide five, is the funding request for this year. It's simply a listing of the projects. Commissioner Badgerill basically went through them all with the exception of the last two, our statewide CAPR request. It's a biennial request. And then a pre-design request for an emergency operations center. Moving on then to our first project, it is the Department of Transportation building exterior. This is the building that is on the Capitol complex on John Ireland Boulevard. What we've got here is a need to replace the structural support system that's holding the granite panels on the facade of that building and to restore the integrity of the support system and the I-beams on the west curtain wall. Repairs on this is the sixth time that we have brought forward this request. It is our absolute number one priority. From a life safety perspective, the project is critical. It is really beyond a maintenance issue now. Repairs have actually been ordered on this by the St. Paul and the Department of Industry. Our insurance coverage currently excludes the panels themselves or any events related to the panels. We continue to see the deterioration of the structural support system, and we continue to face the increased risk that a panel could actually recall, we have had spalling off of the building. Sitting next to Commissioner Badgerow, we may have brought this the last time, but it is spalled pieces of granite panels that have actually been collected by our consultants and engineers as they've been doing their condition assessments. So I think the need is demonstrated fully there. What we would do essentially to the outside of the building is remove the granite panels that exist. We would do asbestos abatement. Asbestos is present in some of the materials that were used on the original construction. We would remove the existing structural support system, which is raw steel. We would install a new stainless steel support system and then essentially rehang the granite panels. The scope of the work is increasing. The risk is increasing year by year. It's probably most evident right now in the north stair tower, and I think I would turn your attention then to the next two slides forward. If you look at the lower left photo there, what you're seeing is the column deterioration on that north stairwell. Thankfully, we have redundancy built into that stair tower, but this is probably some of the most dramatic visual of the corrosion that we've seen. We actually were able to remove panels to get back at this, but you can literally pull chunks of rusted steel away with your hand. So that corrosion is present on all four of the columns on that building. You can see on the top photo there corrosion on what we call a shelf angle that's part of the structural support system that's holding up those panels. The prior slide, just for reference, is evidence of that spalling. You see evidence of the chunks there. And that's occurred on, and we've noticed it on almost all sides of that building. There were some emergency repairs done in the 2001 time frame to the south facade of the building. So that is in better shape than the others. But we're seeing spalling around the building. If we move then to maybe the next slide, it's just some additional visual of the spalling, the corrosion, the rust pack, as we call it. As the rust increases, it grows. And one of the very basic problems we've got here is as the rust grows, it forces the panels up and against one another, and that's what's causing the chipping and spalling. The inspections are now performed on a monthly basis on that building. The next slide is a visual for you of the protective measures that we were required to make per that citation from the City of St. Paul and Labor and Industry. We spent almost $700,000 on these measures, which was basically to retain our occupancy of the building and protect the employees and visitors. The bottom left visual there is our panel movement sensors, if you will. They look like little devices. If you look close at the facade of the building, you'll see them all over. It's monitoring and measuring movement in panels. The middle section is showing the lower level roof protection that was put in place. There's some 700 tons of steel up there helping protect the roof sections. And then the top right photo is the entryway barrier protection that you've probably noticed if you've gone by the building. So,
Mr. Chair?
Cyrilstein?
Thank you. I'm a little confused because we were in a transportation meeting and Commissioner Molnau said that MnDOT really just rents this building, you know, so it's not their building. However, it's traveling and transportation and it's probably traveling in the bonding bill. Are you kind of hoping that it comes, obviously you're hoping it comes successful in one or the other, but do you have a preference that it travel in the transportation bill or in the bonding bill?
I don't think she cares, right? Just do it. Yeah.
Mr. Chair, Senator Olsen, obviously we want to include this as in as many vehicles as possible to ensure that it's passed and signed by the governor. But let me just simply say that while the Department of Administration has overall responsibility for all of the buildings in the Capitol complex, the Department of Transportation pays rent to the department for that for its full occupancy of that building. It is the primary, almost only occupant of that building. It does pay the rent from trunk highway funds. So one way or the other, whether or not it's included in general obligation bonds, it will ultimately be paid for either over time or right at the outset from trunk highway funds. The governor's recommendation is that it be included in trunk highway bonds because that is going to be the ultimate source of funds for paying for this renovation.
Mr. Chair, a follow-up?
We'll see.
I'm curious on the condition of this building. What would it be to implode it and start over? I mean, it almost seems like it's to that point.
And how old is the building? It's about 50 years old, is it?
The building, Mr. Chair and members, the building was built over the time period of 1956 to 1958, occupied in 1958 for the first time.
50 years, okay.
And Mr. Chair, Senator Olsen, part of the issue, of course, is that we have a tremendous sunk cost in having renovated the entire interior of the building, spending many millions of dollars to renovate, upgrade, remove asbestos, replace the elevators. All of the interior wiring has been improved and upgraded. So the interior of the building is really up to snuff. It is this exterior facade, which has for some time now been deteriorating and was not renovated at the time they did the interior renovation.
One last question. When you talked about on the beams, I think it was, restoring the integrity of vertical I-beams. Does that mean replacing them, or are you cutting them in half and welding new pieces on, or I'm not sure what it means to restore an I-beam?
Mr. Chair, Senator Olsen, it is my understanding that we would either replace them, cut out the sections that are rusted most grossly, but it is whatever it's going to take to restore the structural integrity there. I don't know that we've actually uncovered all lengths of all of the sections, but those that we have, I would say we're cutting those out and replacing them.
You now have visuals, so maybe if you want to just, especially the corrosion and the deterioration, yes. If you want to shoot ahead to those, you can maybe get a better shot of them. So, okay. Yeah.
Describe this again.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Mr. Chair and members, this again is the lower left shot. There is from the north stair tower. It's one of the structural support columns that I personally pulled chunks away from it when it was exposed. So I can attest to the fact that it is just rusting. Shelf angles. We have a better visual of that. I think we brought it along. You've probably seen it before, but it is a mock-up of what exists there currently. Thanks, Jim. The bottom section there is the shelf angle, and this was actually a piece that was taken off of the building several years ago, and we were just demonstrating the before and the after prepared to it. So, and that this shot is of the protective measures that were put in place in the fall of 2007.
We received a code citation jointly from the City of St. Paul and the Department of Labor and Industry threatening to declare it unsafe for occupancy. And these protective measures were put in as an emergency this last summer to enable us to continue to occupy that building.
Then moving on, our next request is, again, bringing forward from 07. It is a request in the amount of $2.325 million to purchase a piece of property that has become available at 639 Jackson Street. It is better known as the site of the Central Park United Methodist Church. In 2006, the church approached the state. The state happens to have first right of refusal on three of the parcels that make up that piece of property. They approached the state and indicated their intent to sell, so we have been working with them. It's an opportunity for us to secure a scarce piece of Capitol Complex land. We have a willing owner, not always the case. It would provide in the short term an opportunity for some parking that is sorely needed on that end of the Capitol complex. On the east end of the complex, we have the departments of revenue, agriculture, health, and new to the Capitol complex is the Office of Administrative Hearings last year. They all have a need at various times for heavy visitor parking. And so in the short term, we would use it for surface parking. The intent would be to raise the building that's there today. The building is in pretty bad shape. It is continuing to be used by the church for a variety of programs. It's also, Regents Hospital is also leasing some space in the building. But our intent would be to take down the building, use it for parking. And then long term, we see it as an opportunity for a capital development site.
I'm showing the map.
Yeah, and the map that you see here is just locating that piece of property. You can see that it's sandwiched between the existing Stassen building and the 14th Street ramp. We also, there is approximately $855,000 remaining in an existing property acquisition account that that is under the Department of Administration. This and the $2.325 million would provide the funding needed to complete this project. Our next project, as Commissioner Badgerow had mentioned, is an asset preservation request in the amount of $15.4 million for our state capitol building. This is intended to address only the most pressing and critical needs of the capitol. As our commissioner calls it, it's basically triage on the capitol at this point in time, with $2 million for continued design and planning effort around it. The work that we would be doing is somewhat referenced in the capital budget request on page 2. It talks about phase 1 having a critical portion of it, and this is what this is basically trying to address. It would include site work that would be to stabilize and address deterioration of the plaza and terrace caulking. It would replace crumbling tile that's existing on several of the balconies. And it would repair the east and west side stairs. It would also include exterior projects to repair leaking roof areas, dome tuck pointing, and replacement of the dome windows. It would include mechanical and electrical infrastructure renewal and replacement of those air handling units that are at most risk of failure. And finally, it would take care of some building interior work, such as emergency lighting, replacement, and investigation on existing rain leaders. I think Senator Rust pretty much covered that with the visual that we have in front of you. I've learned that there are 20 rain leaders like this running through the interior walls of the building, as well as 19 different plumbing stacks. They're all original to the building, over 100 years old. We have to believe they're in at least this kind of condition, and so you can only imagine the risk that we have running through the walls of the Capitol. We would use some of the money to do investigative work on those stacks and systems, and we would also do some investigatory work on the air quality in the Rathskeller and in the Rotunda, areas that we have known have issues with air quality. So that is the asset preservation request for the Capitol. As Commissioner Badgerow mentioned, we spent the summer working with the LCC working group, and as yet there is no consensus on a full restoration strategy, but we felt like at minimum it's needs that are identified here that we need to continue to move on and take care of.
And to that point, I mean, we just heard Senator Rust's presentation and yours, so we have a difference in the dollar amount. If it's the consensus of the budget division that this is one of the priorities, I don't think we'll have, we're going to ask you to choose between one or the other. We'll just say that this is a priority, but I'll just have to point out to Senator Langseth, and he knows it already, that there's a couple of different options out here, and he'll just have to figure out what he can do within the parameters of the bonding bill. If he decides he wants to go with the governor's recommendation or a different number, I guess that's what the bonding committee is going to have to do. But we'll, I don't know that we're going to, if you want to make a choice between the two, you can. But I guess we'll just say if it's capital preservation is one of the issues, we'll just say, you know, there's a couple of ways to do this. So we express the preference. Any questions on this this point so far? Sarah Roble.
Mr. Chair, I'm just wondering, like, if we are going to replace the roof or do things like that in the future, would we just be patching things we may later replace, or would we be able to just do the next step after this and not come back and revisit the patching, so to speak, that we might be doing now? Because otherwise we're not making much headway. We might be preserving something for a short period of time until we get bigger amounts of funding, but I'm just wondering if we're going to be coming back and revisiting for a total replacement after we've patched.
Mr. Chair and Senator Roebling, yes and no. Of the 15.4, again, $2 million would be used for planning. So of the 13.4 that we would invest in these emergency repairs, some, of course, would not have to be redone, replacing of the tile on the balconies and so forth. However, there is money in here for air handler upgrades and improvements. We know of the 27 air handlers in the building, some are in danger of imminent failure. This would be more of a patch and repair, because ultimately the renovation would envision replacement of all of the air handler units and removal of those air handling units outside of the capital footprint into vaults. So there's kind of a mixture in the 13.4. What I really want to emphasize is that this is not a restoration plan that we are presenting here today. This is emergency fixes that are desperately needed and are, in my view, a bare minimum. The plan that we presented to the LCC, on the other hand, does take a significant step toward restoration without, again, committing us to those very delicate issues of who resides in the Capitol, what is done with the additional space, doesn't answer the issue of swing space and who has to move out of the Capitol. Those are very delicate, touchy issues. The work that was presented to the LCC, phase one, every penny of it would be a good investment, a solid investment toward the restoration, and would help address some of the issues that this does not. This does not address handicapped accessibility. It does not address the primary security issues we have here. Does not address better visitor accommodations and so forth and so on. Does not address really upgrading the electrical systems, which would be essential to the basic renovation. So every penny spent in the plan that we presented this fall would be good investment, not to be redone. No money would be wasted in that effort. In this case, some of the work that would be redone would ultimately be replaced by a restoration.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Senator Pappas.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think the brochure itself says by taking care of this building now instead of costly patchwork repairs, Minnesotans gain better service, increased efficiency. You know, I think there are two separate things. One is a asset preservation, just a stabilization, emergency repairs, and the other is very different. It's actually starting down the road of restoration. So I think they should be listed separately, your sheet.
We can do that. I guess, you know, I don't want to wind up having the issue diluted too much, because if you choose one or the other and then it falls down, I guess I may have to think about how I can present it to you that, you know, you want something done in the Capitol. Which version do you want? Do you want the emergency repairs, or do you want, you know, the long-term renovation?
I think that's good. Maybe like a secondary question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll have you rank, you know, the capital, and then two subsets, so
which,
you can, yeah. So we'll redo the thing,
good.
So it won't be done. We'll give you the option.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Anything further? Okay.
It's refusing to go.
Okay. Next project is the capital asset preservation and replacement account request. This is a biannual request made by the Department of Administration on behalf of all state agencies. It's a statewide fund that's centrally managed by the Department of Administration. Our current CAPR balance is just under $400,000. It happens to come at a time when our aging infrastructure and weather have really presented issues to us, especially in this past year. We've had greater demand than ever. Recent appropriation history on the CAPR account is a $3 million appropriation was given in 2005. That has been expended. There was an appropriation in 2006 of $4 million, and again, we are just under $400,000 remaining in that appropriation. The account is used for emergency repairs and hazardous material abatements as they occur. And it's for state-owned buildings. It's open to any state agency. Again, it's centrally managed by the Department of Administration. In the past year, two significant events took a significant share of the monies in CAPRA. The first one was the department or the transportation building exterior. As you saw, that was $700,000 expenditure to put those measures in place. A portion of that was paid from CAPRA funds. And then in the fall, the state of Minnesota experienced the flooding in southeast Minnesota. The Department of Natural Resources made a couple of requests to the Department of Administration for CAPRA funds. We appropriated $500,000, and it was used on the project that you see visually there. It's Whitewater State Park. Their septic system was overloaded and damaged, and so a portion of CAPR was used on that. But the projects that are typical for this are these emergencies that occur, and particularly asbestos abatement. As projects get underway, the asbestos is typically unknown. When you run into it, there's a need for funding to take care of it that wasn't always identified in the original scope of work because it was unknown. So these are the unknown, unplanned events that happen that take CAPRA funds to get it back on track. And it's a $3 million request for this planning year.
Okay. Mr. Chair?
Mr. Nelson?
On regards to that, how does that work with the bonding bill? Would there be $3 million bonded and then it just sits in an account? Or does it not get, they don't sell the bonds until the money would be needed?
Mr. Chair and Senator Olsen, my understanding is it is from bond proceeds. I do know that. It is a fund that I'm sure is watched closely because it is out there with unidentified at the time use, but it's set up for emergencies. It CAPRA itself is outlined in 16A, 632, but the actual management of it is done by the Department of Administration. We oversee the allocation of the funds. We prioritize the projects that come in. It is this fund of bond proceed money that is used for these types of projects. Hope that answers the question.
Well, I guess I still don't know whether or not, you know, when the bonding, because Senator Langseth has explained to me that a lot of times the bonds aren't let until they're needed. So I was just curious if those bonds would be not, or bonds wouldn't be sold until something might come up, and so then they might not have to be used over the period of the bonding bill.
We may have an answer here.
For you.
Mr. Chair, members, my name is Wayne Wislosky. I'm the Director of Real Estate and Construction Services. Department of Finance does projections to figure out when to sell the bonds. They're separate from the appropriations process. So they don't sell the bonds immediately upon the legislature enacting the law.
A follow-up then. So then if under the two-year cycle of the bonding bill, and nothing would need to come up, then technically they wouldn't sell the bonds?
Mr. Chair, Senator Olsen, they're looking at the whole picture, so all bond proceeds, all the bonds, all the appropriations that were made in this biennium and past bienniums, they estimate that they'll sell about 15% of the funds that are appropriated this year will be sold through bond sales in 2008. So they'll do a projection looking at the whole picture. Part of what we do is report to finance on when do we expect that we're going to expend the money.
And what did you say the account was now? It's down, it's been depleted, or?
Mr. Chair, Senator Olsen, it's roughly at $400,000.
We need the spelling of your last name, too.
Mr. Chair, it's WASLASKI.
Thank you. Any other questions? Okay. Ms. Giancola.
Okay. And then finally, our last project is a request for pre-designed funds in the amount of $500,000 for a state emergency operations center. The current state emergency operations center is located in leased space in downtown St. Paul, and really it is unsuitable as is for emergency management functions. The center should meet federal Homeland Security emergency management requirements, and it doesn't currently. Among the location requirements are that the center be away from high-rise and mid-rise structures and at least 80 feet away from parking. The current location meets neither of those. The parking happens to be right underneath the building, and it's right amid high-rise buildings. It should be away from congested areas, and it should be outside of known risk areas such as rail corridors, transporting hazardous materials, and floodplains. As I said, the current location meets none of these, and on several occasions, the center itself has experienced flooding from internal to the building. It happens to be on the very lowest level of the facility. And so what this would do in pre-design is take a look at the scope, cost, and schedule that would be involved in relocating that to a more suitable location. Potential benefits of taking this on would be increased facility ownership for long-term ownership, cost control, and equity. Improved technology infrastructure would be possible with the new site. It would be an opportunity to implement sustainable design strategies and reduce operating costs. And there is a potential for possible co-location with the Department of Military Affairs. Both Public Safety and Military Affairs conduct emergency operations of some type or another, and what we would do in the pre-design phase is look at the co-location or potential co-location of those two functions in an emergency operations type setting.
And I just want to make sure I projects that you've talked about before, I think I understand what's going to happen if we don't do them. We don't fix the transportation building, the exteriors can fall down. If we don't do something about the Capitol, it'll leak. We'll have, if we don't buy the property, somebody else will own it. But, you know, you've got that block and your impact of not funding. Could you, again, just clarify what will happen if we don't do, you know, this the bonding for the State Emergency Operations Center? You know, what's the impact? You know, I think I understand the bullet points, but, again, could you go over them so I understand the impact of not doing that?
Mr. Chair, the most immediate impact is really that they would stay where they are today. They would continue to not meet these federal requirements. I believe there is some risk in the Department of Public Safety continuing to secure grants for Homeland Security type measures. And maybe the question would be better answered by our Director of Homeland Security and Emergency Management, Chris Ide, is with us here today and has testified before committees as to the operational nature. But from a facility standpoint, really, they're located currently in a leased facility, and there is no threat other than those that I've outlined to not being able to lease. But
okay. Ms. Ide, welcome to the Budget Division. Please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Chris Ide. I'm the Director for Homeland Security and Emergency Management. And Ms. Giancola is correct that if we remain where we are, we can't meet what the federal government calls the target capabilities for a state to be able to respond to all disasters, including acts of terrorism. We also have had a security assessment done on our facility, and it did not meet many of the security impacts. By not being able to meet those target capabilities, we could jeopardize Homeland Security grant funds because we cannot prove that if we had acts of terrorism, particularly in a high target area like near the Capitol area of the city of St. Paul, that we may not be able to qualify to have the maximum amount of federal grant money that we'd be able to acquire if we were able to meet those capabilities.
Senator Wolfine.
Mr. Chair, thank you. Is there a time limit that they give you to meet their requirements? I mean, if you're in violation now, that's the only punishment, is that you don't, might not get enough Homeland Security grant money? And then do they put a cap on, you know, you need 5 years to get this done? Or?
Mr. Chair, Senator Olsen, there is no time limit right now. The Homeland Security Grant Program is actually a fairly new program, only having been in existence since 2003. So they're continuing to tweak the process. They're continuing to tweak the way that they look at our grant applications. It is such an important issue to the federal government that they have indeed created an Emergency Operations Center fund, and that is a competitive grant that that we could apply for if we were prepared to actually construct. So the pre-design will also then improve our capability of receiving some of those grant funds if our application was ready to go if we had a design.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Heidi. And Commissioner and Ms. Jane Coleman, did you have anything further?
Mr. Chair, I think that concludes our presentation.
Any questions about admin's proposal? Commissioner, I wonder if you could just I recognize that the ones that you presented here today are the governor's recommendations. As I was looking through the packet, I did notice that the agency had ranked some other priorities that obviously not recommended, but could you just give us an indication of what some of those projects are that are not? Obviously, if the governor's not proposing them and nobody here is pushing them, I don't see how it's going to wind up being presented in the bill, but they could very well show up somewhere, either in the Senate bill or the House bill, and maybe we ought to just get some idea of what other needs that were out there that didn't at least make the executive branch cut. What other things might be out there that, if not this time, might we be looking at?
Mr. Chair, we had asked for money for a study of the impact of the LRT. As we know, the LRT is going to come right to the north of the Capitol, right along snug against the sidewalk, and the implications for visitors to and from the Capitol, for our parking, for actually the facility itself, we need to take into account, and so we had asked for study money. We actually believe that the governor's request for $15.4 million and the $2 million that is included for planning in the governor's request would embrace that. So we believe that as we go forward to do further planning around the Capitol restoration, we have to consider the impact of LRT, again, both in terms of visitors to the Capitol, how we accommodate them. A tunnel, for example, to the Rice Street Station is something that we believe needs to be on the drawing board. Those are the kinds of things that would have been included in that study money, and we think we can encompass that in the $2 million that the governor has asked for. There were, any number of other...
Okay, Sarah
Pappas. On this issue, Commissioner and Mr. Chairman, I've just been thinking about this, that we tend to have... I think we have a history of sometimes having a front door and a back door. We certainly did that with the river. And so with the Capitol, you have the front door facing the mall, and we've kind of ignored our back door. But when you think about visitor use, if there were two groups that wanted to have an outdoor rally on the steps of the Capitol, we never put them on the north side of the Capitol. And some of it is University Avenue. The traffic is very fast. People have been injured there. But I think maybe we're going to... By building a ditch, or whatever you call it, for light rail, and this just came up at the CAP board briefly, meeting that I was at, you are permanently cutting off the north part of the Capitol to have any kind of pedestrian access for any kind of an outdoor event. And it could be an amphitheater kind of opportunity. So I have some concerns about that. I think we need to take a close look at that.
Mr. Chair, Senator Pappas, that's exactly the kind of issue we think needs to be considered carefully. What are the implications for the north side of the Capitol complex, given the fact that light rail will, in fact, create a depression, a ditch, and make University even more difficult to traverse by pedestrian access?
Okay.
Other requests, obviously, we had hoped to have some additional money for energy conservation. As you know, the governor issued an executive order asking us to reduce energy consumption in state buildings by 10%. Without really infusion of new money, we were able to reduce it almost 5% just simply by better management, a number of things, training building managers in how to tune their boilers, more emphasis on turning thermostats down, elimination of personal fans and heaters, those kinds of things we were able to achieve quite a bit. However, without further investment, we're really kind of stymied to make further progress in reduction. We need new commissioning of new mechanicals. We need new control systems, some investment. And so we had hoped for some money with respect to investments. We were carrying a request on behalf of the Office of Enterprise Technology for a pre-design study for a new data center. So those were some of the requests. There was this very, very small request that the Governor's Residence Council had asked for to look at a pre-design for the Governor's Residence, which also has some failing mechanical systems and infrastructure issues. It was a small request, but it was not approved by the Governor. I think that pretty well covers the additional requests.
Are there any other questions of the Commissioner? Thank you, Commissioner. And as I say, we're going to be preparing our recommendations shortly. We'll send them to the Capital Investment Committee. We're going to all vote. We're going to rank them, and then however the ranking comes out is what we will submit. And then Senator Langston was actually here on Monday, and he kind of described his process and how he's got to have a balanced bill and all the considerations he has to make in putting together the bill. So we'll just give our input and see where it goes from there.
Mr. Chair and members, we really appreciate your consideration. Thank you.
Is there anything else you want to tell us about, Commissioner, about while you're still here? We'll see at some point. So.
No, I think we've really covered the topics for with respect to bonding.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. We do. Let's pass out the sheet. What is this here? Let's pass out the ranking sheets here, and then the members who aren't here, we're going to have a floor session shortly. I'll try to catch them up there. Once you have them, we'll kind of go over what they say. We've heard 13 different projects. Some were in bills. We just heard the commissioner's recommendations from the Department of Admin. These are the governor's recommendations. Where there was an agency rank, either by the Amateur Sports Commission or the Department of Administration, we've indicated what the agency ranking was. I do have to have you put your name on it, so we can keep track of who hasn't sent their ballots in.
So we can't send you like three or four ballots.
Yeah, so you don't stuff the ballot box. I got 9 members on this committee. If I start getting 15, ballots, I know something's wrong. So, so I got to be able to get your name on it so I can keep track of that point. The one thing that we talked about earlier, if you look at the state capital building repair, we have the repair and the restoration, and those are two separate items. You can rank the state capital building as one item, but then separately put an X or circle or whatever, which option you prefer. Do you prefer the more expensive restoration or the cheaper repair? We got two ways to go on this one. But either way, you can signify that you want where you rank the capital something there. Otherwise, I think they're fairly self-explanatory as to what we heard before us. And we'll probably need to get them back, I think, by tomorrow or so in order to get them to Senator Langseth. Just so you got an idea of what's coming on up, I don't know. We'll send something out. I don't need to go there. Okay. So, any questions? Then I'll adjourn the meeting. You can spend whatever time you've got. Remember, we got a floor session at 2:15, so be there. So if there's nothing further, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
The baby shower
is at 2:30.
And your floor session is at 2:15?
It's just short.
Oh, okay.
It's just